Welcome to The Church Planter's Life, a podcast exploring the possibilities and pain of starting a missional incarnational church. This podcast is a resource of the V3 movement. V3 is a grassroots training organization for men and women planters around the country. Thanks for tuning in as our host Matt Alexander leads the conversation.
Hey, welcome to the Planter's Life podcast. I'm Matt down in Miami. And just a reminder, this podcast is powered by the V3 church planting movement at thev3movement.com. And V3 is an organization, a training and coaching organization that really exists to encourage, empower, coach, and support people to start missional, incarnational expressions of the church in their place. And so we love to come alongside people and support that work and that calling and help to hone that, encourage that, nurture that, and do some training and coaching alongside you. So check out the website to learn a little bit more about V3 and ways to connect with what's going on. And today we're talking with Taylor Morgan out in Tacoma, Washington. Taylor, how are you?
Yep, I'm good. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing okay. You know, I've got this low, sexy voice today. I've had a little bit of a cold, but
I wasn't going to comment on it, but you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I don't know if I want to hear about your cold because I know that you're in Miami where, you know, it's like, it's warm and sunny and it literally snowed here yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is really odd for Tacoma in March. So yeah.
That has probably never ever happened in the history of Miami, I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah. So I'm not ready to talk about that.
Well, Taylor, talk to us a little bit about Gather Tacoma, which is the name of your community. And actually, before you talk about Gather Tacoma, talk to us a little bit about Tacoma and about your context and kind of your church planting journey. How did you get going church planting? How did you kind of discern a sense of calling around that? And then talk to us a little bit about what this part of the country is like and what it's like to live there. What are some of the challenges there? Some of the beautiful parts of it. Anything, everything will be great.
Yeah, sure. Well, I started in ministry in the established church. And so I started pastoring in the established church a little over 10 years ago and worked in a few different churches, really enjoyed them, loved the ministry I got to do there, did associate pastor work and solo pastor work and mission pastor and discipleship pastor, all of those things. So it was a lot of fun. And then eventually was called to serve a church up here in Tacoma. My husband and I had been in San Diego, beautiful, wonderful, warm San Diego. So yeah. We really enjoyed it down there. We're both from LA.
Okay.
So, you know, but we visited the Pacific Northwest and loved it up here. It's so beautiful. So we decided to go ahead and, you know, make the move up here. And I came up here for a great church in a suburb of Tacoma called University Place. I probably shouldn't say that because people who live in University Place want you to know that they are actually their own city, but it functions a lot like a suburb. So we settled in here about, I guess we're going on about 9 years ago now, 8.5 years ago, somewhere around there. And Tacoma is really a great city. You know, it's it has a few different nicknames. One of its first nicknames was City of Destiny when it was first being, you know, built and populated and stuff like that. But then over time, as it developed its character, it became known as Grit City. And I think that's actually really indicative of Tacoma now. It's kind of this, you know, up and coming city that has a lot of personality. It's very, like a lot of the Pacific Northwest, it's got a very pioneering spirit about it, you know, which also makes it a very independent place. People exercise a lot of independence, and that can be true relationally and socially as well.
Yeah.
So, but there's also just a kind of get it done spirit, like people are going to do what they want to do and have fun doing it. So, those are some of the things I appreciate about Tacoma. And then it's a little quirky too. We have a lot of, we have an art scene that maybe if you don't live here, you don't necessarily know about. So we've got some artists that do really creative things that create community in Tacoma. There's an organization called Beautiful Angle that prints these just gorgeous posters, and they hang them up all over the city for people to go on a scavenger hunt and find. So if you find a Beautiful Angle poster hanging somewhere, you are welcome to take that down. So they do that, you know, every couple of months, about, you know, 2 or 3 months. So, and then we have Tacoma Rocks, which is like a rock painting organization. They hide rocks, and then they do something called Monkey Shines, where they make these glass balls. We have the Chihuly Museum here, which is like a glass maker. Yep. They make beautiful glass ornaments. And on Chinese New Year or Lunar New Year, they hide them all over the city in the parks and stuff. And people go out and they search for these balls and ornaments and rocks to find. So apparently Tacomans like scavenger hunts. That's what I just figured that out.
I guess so. Yeah, that seems to be a particular part of the culture, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. If you like scavenger hunts, move to Tacoma.
Should come hang out in Tacoma. Yeah, that's right. Cool. So you guys, you and your family have been there for 8 or 9 years now. You've been serving, working in different established churches during that time. So what led you from kind of that sense of calling to actually starting a new church in Tacoma?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I really, having served in the established church for several years, I started to, and having served larger churches, especially that had a lot of resources, we could do a lot of different things. You would think that we would have, you know, something of a corner market on discipleship, but discipleship proved to be elusive just over and over again. Yeah. We were always contending with the programmatic nature of the church, with the emphasis on Sunday morning worship as the primary thing that people should be attending. And of course, that was the bread and butter of every established church that I served. So yeah, sure. it was really difficult to create a discipleship culture in that context. And my heart has, I came to Christ as a teenager from a very unchurched background. I didn't have any experience, hardly any experience with Jesus before I met him. And so my heart's just always been for people who were far from Jesus, people that might have been unchurched completely, or people that were de-churched. So as a woman in the church, especially when I started exhibiting teaching gifts, and I was in a pretty fundamentalist church to start with, like I experienced some of that church hurt, you know, and ended up leaving my first community and leaving the church itself for about a year. And that experience really cultivated in me when I came back to the church, cultivated in me this compassion for people that had experienced that, and for people that had intentionally walked away from the church, but maybe hadn't walked away from Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and so between that experience as an unchurched person and then a de-churched person, all within about the first 4 years of my faith journey, I think the Lord was really setting this foundation for what would come in this period of my life and ministry. Mm. So I just developed, you know, over time, this holy discontent with the inability to gain ground in meaningful discipleship in the established church, and wanted to experiment with new ways to do that, really focusing on the needs of the unchurched and the de-churched. So, I started out working with a friend who co-planted with me, and then she ended up leaving the Gather plant after about a year and not planting anymore. And that was really difficult. It was a difficult parting, and difficult to lose a person that you're starting something with.
Yeah.
But in the course of that, I really started to. Well, now I'm kind of transitioning into some of the other stuff we talked about, but, you know, I really started to understand some of the difficulties of planting, that maybe I hadn't expected yet, you know, things like feeling lonely or even fears of failure, handling moving from things that had been really successful ministries into now trying this very new thing and then not necessarily feeling successful in it. So that was all kind of a big swath of planting journey, you know, moving from the established church, feeling called to work with the unchurched and dechurched, more specifically creating Gather Tacoma, and then starting to move into some of the things that are unique to church planting, both the wonderful things and the hard things.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I came and hung out with you guys for a couple weeks or a month, what would I experience? If I immerse myself kind of in Gather Tacoma, what would be some of the core rhythms I would experience? How do you guys gather? What does that look like? What is, you know, you talked about a real heart for discipleship earlier. What does that kind of look like in the season of Gather Tacoma's life?
So at Gather Tacoma, we say that we gather around a shared table on a shared journey and for a shared purpose.
Cool.
So for us, what that means is that we gather around a shared table every week. So we have on Friday night, we have just a community dinner. It's a family style dinner, potluck. Anybody can come. It's in my husband and I's home. So anyone can come if they have the address. So yeah. Most people come based on personal invitation. That's how people end up coming to gather.
Yeah.
But we do family style dinner. And at that dinner, we always ask the question, how have you experienced God's presence since we last met, or in your last week or two, if you're new here? So that really kicks off or is foundational for our vision of discipleship. We really start with helping people to perceive God's presence in their life, in just their daily, everyday life.
Yes.
And so being able to train people toward looking for God at work and then sharing what that looks like in a way that's not superficial is a big part of what happens at Gather in the course of a given week. And then after dinner, we move into a time that would be really familiar to most Christians as worship. That time includes the prayer and singing and some form of teaching and or spiritual practice. But it's led by a lot of different people. So we have lots of different people that teach in any given week. Everybody kind of plays a part. And our teaching, it's really awkward to try to do a 30-minute sermon at a pulpit in your living room.
Yeah.
So we scrapped that after the first month or two.
Yeah.
But so instead we do more of a conversational teaching. So we do a lot of question asking or, you know, people teach for about 5 minutes at a time and then move into having people interact together. So that's our shared table. And then our shared journey is both about recalling together how God is at work in our life and then living that out together as well. So we make space for people who have a lot of questions, people that are anywhere on a faith journey. You don't have to be a Christian to be comfortable at Gather on a Friday night or in relationship with Gather in some of our other venues. We really want to be on a faith journey together and make space for people wherever they're at. So we do a lot of interacting around people's questions. That's why the table is central for us. And then we try to live life together in some meaningful ways, being involved in each other's homes. We're not geographically centric. Mm-hmm. So right now we have people coming from as you know far as 25 minutes away or so. But if people live close to each other, like we have a couple families that each live in one particular neighborhood or another particular neighborhood, we really try to encourage them to connect throughout the week together and live their life together. And then really engaging in loving their neighbors on that journey as well. Mm. And that's part of our shared purpose. We're for the good of our neighborhoods and we're for the good of our cities. So we make a big deal about what it means to love your neighbor at Gather, your domestic next door neighbor, literally the people that live around you. We really want people as a first step of discipleship, really, to start interacting with their neighbors, getting to know them if they don't already, and then being intentional about being in their neighborhood. So from there, we look at ways how ways that we as a larger community can interact with our Tacoma, greater Tacoma community. So we have a relationship with our local YMCA and we do a lot of stuff with them.
Okay.
And then we also have some relationships with other organizations at different places in our city that we work with to connect with the needs of the city.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. How's that worked? So you guys are doing a few things that are pretty like unconventional, right?
Yeah.
Like when it comes to like kind of traditional church. And like in our training, the V3 training, a lot of times we kind of talk about seeing the church through kind of a movemental perspective, more fluid, more kind of dependent on relationships mm-hmm. for the kingdom to spread and grow and multiply. So we kind of like compare and contrast it from like a church's movement to church's industrial complex, where, you know, the industrial complex kind of in a nutshell, where a lot of things are kind of focused around having resources, having you know, financial resources, space resources, a building, programs, and the focus is kind of on like trying to build this thing rather than to kind of spread and relinquish this thing. So I guess my question is, you know, some of what you guys are doing, you're gathering in home, you're gathering even on something like, we're gathering on Friday nights, we're not even meeting on Sunday morning, and for a lot of folks that's like a pretty big paradigm shift, you know. Mm-hmm. How has that where have you guys experienced in trying to embrace something that's a little bit more movemental, where have you experienced joy in that? And where have you experienced some pain and frustration in that?
Yeah, we do a lot of things that are unconventional. And I don't think I realized when I started how much that would be true, you know, like, and I love to experiment. It's just one of my favorite things. And I'm a person that loves change, but you know, most people experience change as pain. So I always have to remember that, right? Like I'm excited for change, but the vast majority of people are, this is going to be painful for. So, so I think one of the hard things, you mentioned Friday nights, you know, one of the hard things has definitely been helping people to understand that what we're doing counts. Mm. It counts as your church community. You know, we're trying to shift people from going to church to being the church, right?
Yeah.
And a big part of what's hard about that is that people are so used to going to church on a Sunday morning, attending this 1 hour service and saying, I went to church.
Yes.
And when they come here, even though we do many of the same types of things, you know, even if we're doing them a little differently, we do many of the same types of things, it doesn't feel like they can now say, I went to church, because they went to what felt like a family dinner. They experienced God. They experienced community, but it was just different enough to be a little uncomfortable in that regard. So that has been a difficulty, is helping people understand that this is what it looks like to be the church in this context.
Yeah.
Not the only way to be the church, but this counts and is a valid form of worship, right?
Yeah.
And that was hard for me, to be honest. When I first started, I only had one experience of one type of gathering. And so I asked, as we were doing these things, I was constantly asking, gosh, Lord, is this valid? Is this a valid expression of worship? Is this a valid form of community? And my imagination was just pretty small for what church could look like. So a big part of my journey personally has been feeling my imagination be enlarged, right? And so that's part of the joy of working with people who come in and struggle to see this form of church, of being the church, as valid, but then watching their imagination be enlarged for what God can do in this type of community that they just haven't ever experienced before or have had a very limited experience of. So some of the other joys and challenges, you know, I think that this is, it's difficult to, it's messy. all of it's messy, right? And I think anybody who's planted a church knows that this is just a really messy business.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of, I grew up in my leadership journey in the church, kind of with the ethos that you're not friends with your parishioners, really. At least you're not great. They're not your best friends, you know. You really want to make sure that, you know, someday you're going to leave that church and you're going to be okay. You're not going to lose your entire community. So there is this professional distance, right, even among the people that I loved. So here, I would say that these are both some of my best friends and very much my family.
Yeah.
So, but we still have the same relational struggles that you would have in any relationship, right? And so there's been, you know, friends that have left or chosen to do something else, and that's been hurtful for people in our community to feel like they're losing, you know, a connection with someone they felt like was family.
Yep.
Even if they still see them during the week, there's just a different level of relationship that gets messy, you know? And then a lot of it bleeds into each other. We're in our house. We're deeply active in our neighborhood. Our church meets in our house. And so, and both my husband and I work from home all of the time. So we are just like super embedded in this place, and everything bleeds into each other. So yeah, it can be difficult to have clear boundaries or to set limits or things like that. So we're always kind of working on being able to set boundaries and limits and make space for our own family life and the needs of our family. But I think one of the things that is probably the greatest joy in church planting has been, oh, sorry about that.
You're good.
One of the things that's been the greatest joy has been watching people live into a kind of leadership that they hadn't ever experienced before. And so, you know, I'm a Presbyterian pastor by denomination, and we're very connectional, and we really do place a high value on making sure that multiple people in the church are leading in many different ways. But like APEST was completely new to me coming into church planting.
Right.
I had read a little bit about it in seminary when I read an Alan Hirsch book. When I read Forgotten Ways, I think that might have been my first introduction. But other than that, you know, it had been 10 plus years and it was completely new to me. So having the opportunity to see people realize their giftedness and then live into it in really organic ways is one of my greatest joys. One of the ways I've seen that even just recently was yesterday we were at our local Y for Ash Wednesday, and it's such a joy to get to take this this service and liturgy that for years I experienced within the confines of the church and to bring it into this public space, that this unexpected public space. It's our second year doing it, and our Y puts us like in the dead center of their lobby each year now. And so, you know, they're not putting us up in the chapel or off in a little side room or anything like that. They intentionally put us where like every person that walks in makes eye contact with us.
Wow.
And we love it, right? So to have, I had several people from Gather come and be there throughout the day to pray with people, to bless them, to mark them with ashes if they wanted that. And it's such a beautiful thing to watch these people that I'm doing life with that are exercising their gifts interact with people that are hanging out at their gym and taking their kids to ballet and, you know, playing basketball, and then coming and having a profound experience of God in the middle of the Y. And just to be able to facilitate that and to help that come into being is such a great joy for me.
So cool.
Yeah. And of course, you can't do that without other people making a way, right? So for me, we have a neighbor who works at the Y, and he is a person of peace for us.
Yeah.
he, you know, made that connection available to us and helped create that space. And, you know, without these people, we wouldn't be able to have those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I love it. What, okay. So here's my next to last question is, how would you encourage someone who is starting to think about possibly starting something, is starting to maybe sense a heart or call towards their neighborhood or towards a network of people in their city? Maybe they've already built some relationships there and they're starting to sense a call to really live more intentionally on mission, maybe even gather a few others to help them do it. How would you encourage them? And specifically, how would you encourage a woman who's doing that?
You know, I think that if I think about what I wish maybe I had done before starting this, I wish I had dug more deeply into other existing plants and even other resources more intentionally. I really wish I had visited a lot more church plants, to be honest with you. Like, that would be the number one thing. If I could go back and do it again, I would say I want to visit so many church plants before I start doing this, just because it's a great way to gain a larger imagination for what the church looks like, you know, and really a simple way to do that too. So if you came from a background like mine, where you only had a fairly limited experience, I think that can be transformational for you. I probably wish I would have read more widely before coming into doing this. So I felt in our first year, I felt like I was doing a lot of catching up. But certainly the visiting would come before the reading. So, but I was really glad to get into a cohort and into the V3 cohort right away, because it really set the foundation for how I would come to understand multiplying this type of community. And that was really important for me.
Yeah.
And then I think probably having a, taking a year to have regular weekly dinners with the people that are going to be like foundational leaders, that you think might be foundational leaders in your plant, because you don't know right away, you know? And sometimes the people that you think are going to be in those positions end up not feeling called to that. So, but spending a year having that weekly rhythm and being, you know, full disclosure, like, I want to experiment with this together because I think we have the potential to, you know, to envision something new for the kingdom. I think that would be really helpful as well. We brought a core team together initially, and I think we met as just a core team for like 2 months, 3 months before starting Friday night gatherings. And that was too short a time. We should have done it for a lot longer.
Yeah.
But you know,
yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. It worked out. So
Yeah.
So those would be some things and for women, you know, there aren't a lot of women planters. I wish that weren't true. I look and long for the day when that's not true. When I came into ministry as a woman pastor, certainly I was in a minority. And one of the first things that I've always done in every church that I've been in is to, you know, just gather a group of women together, to women pastors together, to have community. So I think finding community with other women planters is really important. It's important to see people that that look like you and at the table and learn from their wisdom and know that you have access to them as people that have gone before, people that are walking alongside you. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. If someone wanted to find out more about what you guys are up to or stay connected with you online, how would they do that?
You can find me on Instagram at Taylor, T-A-E-L-E-R, just make it difficult, .Morgan, and Facebook for sure. Gather Tacoma Facebook page is probably the best resource for Gather. We have a website, but we use Facebook more than anything else. And then if you're a woman planter, I'd say hop on the Women Planters Connection Facebook page, and that's a great place to connect with other women planters as well. So
great. Terrific. Great. Check out V3's website to learn more about V3. And I think there's actually a link on the website as well to the Women's Planter group too. So you can find that on the V3movement.com. Thanks.